Good morning from the newsroom of the Financial Times. Today is Thursday, November 1st, and this is your FT News Briefing.
Today, we'll be looking at the end of a bad month for global stocks, a possible Brexit deal in the coming weeks, and London's first low-emission street. Then, Ed Crooks will give us the latest on what's going on at General Electric and the company's plans to turn things around. I'm Eric Krupke.
And I'm Amy Keen, and here's the news you need to start the day.
Global stocks finally rebounded on Wednesday, bringing to a close the worst month since 2012. Wall Street's S&P 500 rose 1.1% yesterday, and the Nasdaq added 2%. The rebound came after gains across Europe and Asia, and healthy earnings from General Motors eased investor fears that corporate profitability might have peaked.
Investors were also concerned this month about rising U.S. interest rates and slowing global growth. The ongoing trade dispute between the U.S. and China didn't help either. But after a series of good third quarter earnings in Europe, the decline looks to be over for now.
And sterling rose sharply yesterday after Brexit Secretary Dominic Raab told Parliament in a letter that a withdrawal agreement with the EU could happen by November 21st. British representatives have been eager to show progress on the negotiations, but diplomats in Brussels played down the prospects of a breakthrough.
EU negotiators are open to accelerating talks and calling a special Brexit summit in November. In his letter, Mr. Raab also said that the EU had accepted Britain's proposal for a so-called backstop arrangement. The arrangement would avoid the return to a hard border between Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic after Brexit. Meanwhile, Prime Minister Theresa May addressed business leaders in the City of London on Wednesday evening and urged them to lobby MPs to back the government's Brexit deal if an agreement is struck in the next few weeks.
And the traffic patterns in London are due for a little change. The city's financial district will ban polluting vehicles from one of its roads.
Only fully electric and certain hybrid vehicles will be allowed on one of its streets starting in April. That's according to the City of London Corporation, which governs the area. And anyone who breaks the rules will get letters, followed by fines. It's a first step toward eliminating toxic emissions from some of London's busiest areas. And here's something you might want to know more about.
General Electric is one of the great names in American business, but the manufacturing group has had a rough few months. This week, the company announced worse-than-expected earnings for the third quarter, and yesterday, ratings agency Moody's downgraded GE's credit rating by two steps. It's now at three notches above junk. The FT's U.S. industry and energy editor Ed Crooks covers GE.
I gotta loosen my tongue.
Always a good idea.
Yeah,
you sound more casual that way.
Yeah, I'm going to be exactly checking myself.
And he's here to explain why the company's trouble means trouble for the whole U.S. economy.
Here's the newest, most exciting sound in town. It's a General Electric blender that's gone around.
General Electric is, of course, one of the great names in American business, instantly recognizable logo and so on. It was founded by Thomas Edison back in the 1880s. There's hardly a household that doesn't have a GE product somewhere in it.
The GE 2800 dishwasher. It does almost everything but clear the table.
Or a person who hasn't flown on an aircraft with GE jet engines on it.
GE in the air will be there.
Been a giant in American corporate life for well over a century.
Here is a woman doing her Monday wash electrically. This family is doing the dinner dishes electrically.
For a while in the 1990s, it was the most valuable company in the world in terms of market capitalization and so on. So it pervades American life very thoroughly. It has a very large retail shareholder base as well. It's been a very popular investment for people to hold. And so when GE suffers, I think people really feel it. It's one of those names that everyone looks to. And when GE's in trouble, it's acutely felt in America as a whole.
And what has gone wrong at GE in the last few months?
There has been a whole series of problems piling up for GE, but two in particular have been very pressing. One has been still a legacy from their financial services operations. They used to have a very large financial services business up until 2015, when the then chief executive, Jeff Immelt, decided to get rid of most of those companies. And now the financial services operations are much smaller, but still there are liabilities still lurking. And one of the problems they've got is that when they got out of the insurance business, they hung on to some residual liabilities to pay people's long-term care policies. And it turns out they greatly underestimated how expensive those policies would be, how much they'd have to pay out on them. The other issue that they've got is a problem in their existing businesses, which is their business making equipment for the power generation industry. They've been very heavily in the business of making equipment for fossil fuel power generation. They have a lot of technology for gas-fired and coal-fired power plants. And that market has been very, very weak the past few years.
And they also announced that they were going to cut their dividend to 1 cent. So what's the point of that?
Arguably, it's kind of meaningless to have a dividend of just 1 cent per quarter. That is a very steep cut from the previous dividend, which was 12 cents a quarter, which in turn was a steep cut. I think part of what they're doing is they just want to make, even if it's only a notional kind of nod to that very large retail base of investors that GE has got. There are a lot of people in the United States who hold GE shares and for whom sometimes the dividends that they get on their GE stock has been an important source of income from them. Their income has been very severely hit by this cut in the dividend. And I think there was a sense of the company they didn't want to leave people with nothing. And so even though it's a small amount, they still want to be paying something to people. The reason for the cut, though, they say it was completely inescapable. It was something they really had to do. They're going to save almost $4 billion a year. And as they start the long and laborious process of turning the company around and hopefully improving its performance over the next few years, that $4 billion will come in very handy to basically steady the ship.
And they announced their third quarter earnings this week as well. And their brand new chief executive, Larry Culp, was on the earnings call. What did he have to say about the state of the company?
So he's been having a look around the business as an outsider, bring a fresh set of eyes to it. And he had a nice turn of phrase where he said the problem with GE until now has been too much up and not enough out, in the sense that GE staff, executives and managers were too much focused on managing within the organization, in kind of managing up the hierarchy and getting approval from senior management for what they were doing. And they weren't thinking enough about the competitive environment. They weren't thinking enough about their customers, about how they could serve their customers better. They weren't thinking enough about the competition, what the competition were doing, how the market was evolving, and so on. And so that's, he's been saying, that's the crucial thing that he really wants to change in GE, rather than all the time being inward looking, as he said, looking within our own four walls and being just focused on what other people at GE think about them.
You can read more on all of these stories at FT.com. Today we'll be watching for Apple earnings. The company is expected to report a rise in revenue and profit, helped by demand for its top-level iPhones.
This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back tomorrow for all the latest business news.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.